Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. It's Friday morning. Lenny Melnick sitting right here in the cave, ready to rock and roll for you and fantasy baseball and all that other stuff. And we welcome Donkey Teeth and Eric and Jet and Michael and Trucker Rob and, of course, David into the chat room. And plenty of good seats still available. Okay, couple of things. First of all, I'm very proud. I think I'm proud. I don't really know what numbers mean, but I do know that we have over 800 people a day coming to the website. Now, I think that's good. I'm happy with it. My goal in the next couple of weeks is to get it up to 1,000 and then go from there. It's always exciting to try to build something, and I can't help but thank each and every one of you, especially you guys who show up here every morning in the chat room for helping us do that. But it's interesting. I know people don't like to participate. They like to watch. They like to look. They like to listen to other people and gaze. But we're hitting up to about 300 people who have joined. With 800 people coming to the site, I'm wondering why we're not getting more than 300 out of 800, or maybe that's a good number. I really don't know. So if you have any suggestions about how to improve the website, whether it be just to how to traffic around and move around or something to add, I'd be very happy to listen because, look, the President of the United States does not know everything. I think we know that, no matter who it is. But he has advisors. He has a cabinet. And right now, Donkey Teeth, Eric, Jet 9, Mark, Michael, Rob, David, and all you other guys who are helping me all along. You guys are my cabinet. No, Michael, I'm not talking about being at you guys. I'm talking about, it's 300 out of 800. That may be a very good number. So if you have anything, you're my cabinet. I will, love to be advised by you. So I just mentioned that. Send it privately, LennyMelnick@gmail.com, if you like. And it's always a big help to hear from you guys. All right. The other thing is this. Now, I put rankings up on the website. Now, I'm the first one to tell you that rankings are bull dinky and poppycock in baseball. But I put them up because I asked the question, do you want rankings? And many of you said yes. Now, they'll be complete by this weekend, okay? So we're finishing up the National League or the American, I forget which one of the leagues. But I will ask you one thing. I got called out about rankings. Now, I don't care what anybody says. I don't think rankings in baseball mean anything. But projections, and that's what I've done there. I've done projections, okay? It's the projections that mean a lot more than the rankings. So I've done projections on every player so far, and I put them up. So forget about the rankings. It's just for show. It's the projections that mean something. Now, I'll tell you where I got called out. I got called out on my projections. Now, we all know you can't be right. All right, you can't be right on projections, all right? A projection is just meant to show you what kind of player we have. If the projection is for 20 home runs, it means that he's someone who could hit you 20 home runs, he could hit 25, he could hit 18. So that's, to me, that's, or you look and see, let's say I need a stolen base shortstop. So if you look at the projections and you see this guy's projected to steal 10 to 15, all right, that could be the guy. When another shortstop is projected to steal 0 or 1, that's not the guy. But I got called out for being lazy on my projections. And the reason I was called out for being lazy is this. I round off a lot of projections, all right? So you take a look at my projections. I got a lot of second baseman and shortstop who I expect to hit 50 RBIs. And a lot of, so I got 50, everybody's 50, or everybody's 60, or everybody's 55, or everybody's, and it doesn't look good. The person who called me out said, it looks like it's lazy, and suggested that I put in a couple of 62s, and 63s, as if I'm putting 60, am I doing less work than the guy who puts 63 for a projection? Oh, does it make a difference? Now, psychologically, is what I'm talking about. Of course, you guys know, if I put 60 and somebody else puts 63, I mean, who cares? Does that mean I'm not doing my work because I rounded everything off? Or is it, in fact, something that people would question? Does it look like I'm not doing my work because I'm rounding everybody off, and I got a bunch of people with 60 runs scored and a bunch of people with 55. It doesn't look like. I mean, according to this person who called me out, instead of having all 60s, I should have a couple of 58s, a couple of 61s. Yeah, that one person, I did a lot of research to figure out that Logan Forsythe is going to have 60 runs scored and not 59. All right, so... So I wonder, we all know that it doesn't matter, but the question I'm asking you is, does it matter, okay? Does it matter, right? I know Eric says fantasy baseball guys are really picky, but are they stupid? I don't think they're stupid, but I'm asking the question, maybe I'm the one who's stupid. Does it matter if I'm putting in a whole bunch of 50s and a whole bunch of 60s, or... would you have more confidence in a projection that has people at 61 and 62 and 59? You tell me, all right? I'd really like to know. Yeah, of course, David, their projections are subjective, and we all know that. And nobody, Ron Chandler, who's known for his projections for so many years, Mike Podhaizer, all these people who make a living out of it, we all know that it's not about being right on the button. Projections are never made to be right on the button. They're meant to give you an idea of what the player does. Because baseball, unlike football, baseball has many different categories. Does a shortstop steal? Does a shortstop hit home runs? Does a shortstop have a good batting average? That's what we want to know. In football, everybody's about yardage, touchdowns, and receptions. Right, so it's a little different in fantasy baseball as we break the scoring down into categories. So that's really my question. Aesthetically, does it look like the person who's doing the projections, rounding everything off, appear to not be doing his work as much as the guy who puts in 60, 61, and 62, okay? And yes, there's no right answer for any player, okay? Yes, plus minus, but, you know, Mark, you know, we all know that. It's a good point. Perhaps if I put plus or minus just on, you know, on the heading, all projections are plus minus, okay? Plus minus 5% either way. So maybe that's the answer, but I'm talking about the way we're doing it now, the perception. I just felt a little crazy about that. Okay, on to the stuff that you came here for. And, of course, we're going to talk about position stuff, and we'll get. But I got to talk about the Dexter Fowler thing. Now, here's what very few people are talking about, and yet we talked about it right here a couple of weeks ago. Okay, so Fowler goes to the Cubs, and right away, everybody just presumes that Jorge Soler is on his way out the window, and that may not happen. Now, of course, they've had talks with Tampa, but Tampa's already got too many outfielders. Tampa, you know, acquiring Dickerson, that took care of that. I know that Chicago would have liked to have Jake Odorizzi. That's not going to happen now. It doesn't appear that that's going to happen. There are other teams involved also. Julio Teheran for Jorge Soler. I mean, that could happen. That could very well happen. I could see that happening. But here's the deal. Up on the website, we had an article a couple of weeks ago, and it was talking about the Chicago Cubs catching coach, Mike Borzello. And I'll remind you, even though we talked about it a few weeks ago, how Mike Borzello, the catching coach, suggested that Kyle Schwarber does not play the outfield. Doesn't want him in the outfield. He wants him behind the plate. Under the heading of, he feels that the difficulty he had last year in left field would eventually affect him by his errors, by his lack of range, by just his unathletic ability to play left field would absolutely affect him. Plus, in fantasy baseball, which he didn't say, but I'm saying, if he plays the outfield, he might miss one at-bat a game because of the fact that they take him out for defensive purposes. So I'm saying that what the Cubs are likely to do especially so close to spring training, officially starting for everybody, is that Schwarber becomes the catcher. Solar becomes the outfielder. Solar, Fowler, and Heyward. Solar, the left fielder. Fowler in center. Heyward, that's not bad. That's not bad. And maybe they'll make some kind of a deal for a fourth outfielder. But Javier Baez is playing some center field. Javier Baez, by the way, is being groomed as a super utility guy. But we'll get to the Cubs when we do the position battles. We'll do that today in just a little bit. I just want to let you know about Austin Jackson turned down a $5-6 million. He turns down a $5 or $6 million. I don't know which one it is. I'm turned down an offer with the Angels. The Angels, they don't want to put him over the luxury tax, but the Angels willing to go for Austin Jackson, and he turned them down. So that's pretty interesting that he turned them down. Matt Cain has had some surgery. I thought it was worse than expected, but it'll be it was removed, and he'll be back in the rotation. So don't jump on this kid Heston so quickly. And, of course, we take all that, and we're just wondering about Pedro. Pedro Alvarez looks like he's really in a lot of trouble. I mean, he can't hit lefties, and he can't field. That's two pretty important things when you're playing Major League Baseball. Don't forget, the Roto Edge package, the exclusive Roto Edge package, will, I believe, as of Monday, contain, maybe even sooner than that, I sent all over my auction values for the National League only, American League only, and the Mixed League. How many of you guys play in an only league? It seems that when we started fantasy baseball in the mid-'80s, when I did anyway, the only leagues were very popular. And they seem to have lost their luster a little bit. I find only leagues to be tremendous. How many of you guys play in an only league? I'm interested to see. So my auction values will be at Roto Experts. Now, I will be very candid with you. I'm not permitted to share them with you and put them on my website. It's just not the right thing to do. People pay for that package. But send me an email, LennyMelnick@gmail.com, and if you have any questions about auction values for either AL, NL only, or the Mixed League 15 team, I'll be very happy to go over some of the players that you have in mind, okay? So please, okay? Rob is in Craig Mish's NL only, so that means you win automatically. So we welcome the natural into the chat room. Welcome aboard. And there you have it. So if you have any questions about any auction values, send me that email, because I really can't put the auction values up on the site. It's just not the right thing to do. And if you like, go to the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package. They got some really good stuff. And I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm not selling it. I don't get a commission. I don't get a love bug. I don't get anything. But I will tell you that it's a lot of fun. It's really good. It really is good. All right, let's get to what you came here for, a little serious baseball talk. And as we're hitting the Chicago Cubs, look, there's no question that as far as position battles on the Cubs, Javier Baez is battling for every position. He just wants that playing time, and he wants it, and he's going to get it. Javier Baez, I think, and Andrea, go to the website, LennyMelnickFantasySports.com. Andrea has Javier Baez as one of her sleeper picks. And don't forget, when we talk about sleeper picks, we talk about players that will give you more value on the field than the value that you spent for them at the draft, substantially more. And I think Javier Baez is capable of hitting 20 home runs and stealing 15 bases from a guy that's really not getting a lot of respect in the NFBC. So with Schwarber, in my opinion, going to play catcher, it puts Miguel Montero in a very tradable position, because we know that they're going to want to use David Ross in his last year. It's his last year of his contract, is David Ross. And they've got Taylor Teagarden. You know Taylor Teagarden. He's still on this depth chart. He's the guy that admitted he took PEDs. That's crazy. I don't know if that's a mistake at the depth chart I use. If you want to know the depth chart I use, by the way, I think it's the best in all of fantasy baseball. So send me an email, lennymelnick@gmail.com, and I'd be very happy to share my depth chart with you. It's really terrific. I've shared it with some of you guys already. All right, so really this team is pretty well set. There's no question that, Rizzo and Zobristan, Addison, Russell, and the only question is the batting order. And now that Fowler is here, Jason Heyward doesn't have to worry about batting at the top of the order. I'm suggesting that Heyward's going to probably bat fifth in the order. And here's the reason I say fifth in the order. We've got a leadoff man of Dexter Fowler. We've got Zobrist batting second. We've got Rizzo batting third. And we've got Bryant fourth. I think most of you will agree with that. Jason Heyward, if he bats fifth, he's got a tremendous on-base percentage. So you want him in front of Kyle Schwarber so that when Schwarber hits his home runs, Dexter Fowler is going to be on base. And that's pretty cool. So that's how I like Heyward batting fifth, and I think he's going to be. This is the star year for Heyward. So the position battle is really in the batting order. With Arrieta, Lackey, and Lester, and Hamilton, you know Kyle Kendricks had more strikeouts per nine innings than Jake Arrieta. Now, check that out. I'm not even 100. I'm pretty sure that could be. All right? Kendrick had more strikeouts per nine innings than Jake Arrieta. So that's just another little gem, another nugget. That's right. There's the Nuggets. The bullpen, of course, is led by Hector Rondon. The Cubbies are looking for another closer, and they were in the market for Jake McGee. It was Jake McGee and Odorizzi if they wanted to trade Solar at that time, but they didn't do it. And that was part of some kind of a deal they were talking about. So it's very likely that the Cubbies will be pretty well set in the field. The only thing they have to figure out is that batting order, and I think they're pretty well set to go. It's been too easy for the Cubs. Everything has gone their way. They stole Lackey, they stole Heyward, they got plenty to steal them, but they got them. And of course, getting him from the Cardinals was pretty much a big deal. You know, getting Lackey from the Cardinals was a big deal. Getting who else did they get? Picking up Zobrist and all these guys went for less money. All right, they all went. That's what they said. They went for less. Cincinnati. Well, here's the deal with Cincinnati. Brandon Phillips, who has been a very steady performer, a very loyal, a pillar of the community. He's even known in Cincinnati. His name has better name recognition in Cincinnati than David Leisure. Name in Cincinnati. Yeah, I believe it in some circles anyway. Maybe not in all the circles. Maybe in the squares David is better, but in the circles we have to say Brandon is better. But here's what we got. So the Peraza situation with Phillips at this moment makes Peraza a utility guy. Super utility in the mold of what they're doing with Javier Baez. So it's not that Peraza's not going to have any time, but he's going to be all over the place. And still, I really still believe that they're desperately trying to find another home for Brandon Phillips, whether it be the money. All right, David, could it be true that Phillips just loves Cincinnati so much that he won't go even if he's given a couple of million bucks to leave? So we'll see how loyal Brandon Phillips is. So far, he's claiming a loyalty to Cincinnati. And isn't that, you know what? How do we criticize somebody if that's what they're doing? The question is that what they're doing? So we'll see how that works out. As far as other things going on in Cincinnati, we know that Cozart's a sure. Suarez should have a lock at third base. But here's the real position battle. Billy Hamilton's supposed to bat first, and he'll bat leadoff. Now, with Dexter Fowler not being signed by the Baltimore Orioles, how close do you think Jay Bruce, who was rumored to go to Baltimore in the first place, how close do you think Jay Bruce is to getting to Baltimore? I think he's a hip-hop away. He's a physical away from joining the Orioles. So what does that mean? That means that Adam Duvall and Scott Schebler are going to be battling in the outfield for a position. And who are they going to battle with? They're going to battle with Jesse Winker. Now, Winker is not on the 40-man roster. So Winker is down in the minor leagues. When I saw Jesse Winker in the Arizona Fall League, he actually led the Arizona Fall League in hitting. So he was a little off last year, but he's supposed to be a hell of a player. So that's the position battle there. Scott Schebler, who could hit some home runs, Adam Duvall the same, and the position battle, Jesse Winker, who may not be on your depth chart because he's not on the 40-man roster, he could be the other guy, okay? Absolutely, he could be the other guy. Fantasy Baseball Universe has joined us, and I got to tell you, so has Brad. As we talk about Cincinnati, Brad heard, oh, they're talking about the Reds. I better jump on. All right, but the Fantasy Baseball Universe, two of your patrons yesterday, Mr. Johnson and Brian Wiley, challenged me on the save situation, but they challenged me in a nice way. Remind them to listen to yesterday's podcast where I explain why it's best to punt saves and when you do it and how you do it and why you do it. Okay? They were terrific, and my podcast yesterday was inspired by the Fantasy Baseball Universe, so head on over there. It's a pretty good Facebook page, okay? It's really terrific. So do that. Of course, they'll check out Mark Hammond and his stuff. Mark, of course, doing the stat work beyond belief, so check out Mark. He's I'm talking about Mark Hammond, a quality person, and you know quality people put out quality stuff, so check out Mark. Okay. Cincinnati, we all know their rotation is going to be loaded with rookies, same way it was last year. DeSclafani, Iglesias is prime, man. He is absolutely. Now, remember, John Lamb is banged up a little bit, so don't expect John Lamb to be in that rotation at the beginning of the year. And, of course, Homeward Bailey coming off of Tommy John surgery. So who gets the fifth starter? Michael Lorenzen is penciled in for the fourth. Could Stevenson sneak in there? That rookie who has become, I think he's getting worse every year, Robert Stevenson. So we'll see. Stevenson, if he probably won't make the team out of spring training. It looks like Kiva Sampson will still be there, but we'll see. We'll see how they work. But John Lamb, it's hard to take any one of these guys. The only pitcher I would take is Rossell Iglesias, big strikeouts. J.J. Hoover, if you go to LennyMelnickFantasySports.com, there's an article out of Cincinnati anointing J.J. Hoover as the closer. His job to lose. Jumbo Diaz will battle him. But if you're in an NFBC draft, nobody knows who the closer is in Cincinnati. But grab J.J. Hoover because he's the guy who'll get the chance. David and I have gone over Tony Cingrani for a long, long time, but he may not be ready. Ultimately, I wonder, David, if Tony Cingrani winds up as the closer. Right now, he's the only lefty, except for the Rule 5 guy, Chris O'Grady, in that bullpen. So that may be hampering him. Every team needs a lefty to come in the seventh or eighth innings with lefties coming up. So very hard to secure a job as the closer when you become the only lefty in the bullpen capable of getting those left-handers out. Not good. Moving down to Milwaukee, I don't know what to say. You know, certainly in center field, they're having a battle. Kirk Nieuweneis and Keon Broxton, no question about Broxton doing it. Michael Reed could also get a job. If he could show he could play center field, and I'm not sure he can, Michael Reed could wind up as the center fielder. So we have to keep that. It'll be Nieuweneis. It's not going to be Nieuweneis. We've seen too much of him. It'll be either Michael Reed or Keon Broxton. That's Broxton with an O, getting the job there. Of course, Jonathan Villar just holding off this kid, Arcia, who's supposed to be pretty hot shortstop, all right? I've never seen him play, but I'm just going by the scouting report. And that's it. You know, Chris Carter, there could be a platoon with Andy Wilkins, the lefty, Chris Carter, the righty. I don't really think it will be, but he'll be battling to try to get the job. Jonathan Villar could be a very interesting 2025 stolen base guy. Yadiel Rivera, nice youngster who I saw in Arizona, really looking good. Big, you know, big boy, nice looking guy. He could also bat. battle for playing time if they decide to keep Arcia down for at least half the season. Pitching staff, it's just a battle among people that you don't even want to know. Garza, Peralta, Jimmy Nelson, Taylor Jungman, Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, who had his moments last year, Tyler Cravey did as well. But the thing is that the big battle is in the bullpen, absolutely in the bullpen. Who's going to be the closer in Milwaukee? And I'm going to have to say it's going to be Jeremy Jeffress. I told you the other day, Andrea's in the NFBC, and she just grabbed Jeffress went, at the end. She's in the 40th round or something, and Jeffress was still sitting there. Will Smith was gone. But I will say that it's going to be the other way around because, once again, you take a look at at the bullpen configuration, and I've said it before, but I think it's very important. Sometimes there's no way to know who's going to be the closer, but when you take a look at Will Smith, who's a left-handed thrower, and understand that the only other lefties in the bullpen, although they did just pick up Sean Nolan, is Chris Capuano and Cesar Jimenez. Now, they just picked up Nolan. He's a lefty. He's the guy who Oakland got for Josh Donaldson. That's right, Brett Laurie, Sean Nolan. What a freaking trade, man. It really put Oakland on the map. They traded Brett Laurie, Sean Nolan, Kendall Graveman for Josh Donaldson. So all that being said, with Nolan, Capuano, and Jimenez, they need Will Smith to get the outs. That's if they feel like winning. I don't even know if they care about that. So I think Jeffress gets the nod, even though most depth charts will have Will Smith up on top. Pittsburgh looks pretty well set. Of course, they lost Neil Walker, so they put in Josh Harrison. A battle for playing time should be also at third base. I mean, Sean Rodriguez has been a very good complimentary player sometimes, but never really stood out. He had some good seasons. Alan Hansen, switch hitting youngster, he could wind up being the third baseman, or maybe Josh Harrison moves over to third base. Hard to really say. They really need a third baseman. It wouldn't shock me if David Freese winds up in Pittsburgh. I mean, why not? Would it shock me if Ian Desmond winds up in Pittsburgh and plays third base? Why not? I mean, it's Pittsburgh, and people don't talk about this. They talk about Pittsburgh as one of the big contenders. But take a look at this team. I mean, at first base, they got a platoon. They got John Jaso, the left-handed hitter, and Michael Morse, the right-handed hitter. That's not terrible. But second base, they got Harrison, Mercer at short. Don't forget Kong, who could also play some third base. But what do they got here? They got a clear need for another infield. I wouldn't be surprised if David Freese winds up on this ball club. One of the best outfielders in Major League Baseball with Marte, McCutcheon, and Polanco may even be the best. And, of course, Jung-Hoon Kang says his knee is okay. And, of course, in the rotation, who's going to be the fifth starter? They got Cole. Liriano could be starting opening day for the third year in a row. Jonathan Neese, Jeff Flaherty, three lefties here. Three lefties. So that means if they're thinking about putting Tyler Glasnow into the rotation comes May, that'll give them four lefties unless they go with Ryan Vogelsong. So it's Vogelsong against Jeff Locke because they're going to put Glasnow in, and that'll give them four lefties, Francisco Liriano, John Neese, and Tyler Glasnow. Jeff Locke is a lefty. So I think Vogelsong has the edge over Jeff Locke. Remember Jeff Locke, former All-Star? It's going to be tough. Mark Melancon, Archimedes Caminero is the setup guy. But here's the deal. With Kyle Lobson recently acquired, and Robert Zarate is a lefty in that bullpen as well, Tony Watson, when Melancon goes on the market, if Pittsburgh flounders, Melancon in his last year, Tony Watson is going to take over the closer job. So keep in mind, they're going to give Watson some opportunities, especially if they don't get off to a good start. St. Louis, Brandon Moss and Matt Adams, you call this a platoon? Hell no, it's not a platoon. It's not a platoon because we know that Adams can't hit lefties, And we also know that Adams is a lefty, and so is Brandon Morris. We're not going to be able to finish this this division. I'm going to leave the Cardinals out so we can continue it tomorrow. But that's the, you know, that's really the story. Head over to the website. Don't forget, in the water cooler, there's a place to post your comments and questions. I'd love to know what you think of the rankings and the fact that I'm rounding off projections. Okay, so please do that. Love to hear what you think about the saves, especially the effector. Even if you put yes or no effector, I'd love to know, you think that's possible? To have Major League Baseball now, they started off with a closer. Then they went to a closer. That's before. In the 50s, they didn't even have a closer. The setup man, now the effector. Put that in the website. Thanks for joining me, everybody.